From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is a podcast from the archives of The Fischko Files, on radio since 1999. I'm Sarah Fischko. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of The Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs, on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Anything about Candide, the musical, pretty much has to start with this. Leonard Bernstein's playful, melodious overture is now a familiar concert classic. But in 1956, during the run of Candide at the Martin Beck Theater, it stopped the show every time. No one had ever heard of an overture stopping a show before.
It's a great piece.
Barbara Cook was Cunegonda in the original production.
And people recognized that immediately. And they applauded and applauded and applauded and applauded.
Bernstein had been approached about Candide in the early 1950s by Lillian Hellman, who saw in the original 18th-century satire by Voltaire some contemporary parallels. Voltaire had been inspired to write Candide after a disastrous earthquake in Lisbon in 1755. It left no further doubt in his mind that the current philosophy of optimism, the notion that all that was created in the world was necessarily the best it could be, was absurd.
This is the heart of this best of all possible worlds. Quite the best part of this best of all possible worlds.
This is the heart of this best.
Two centuries later, Hellman saw post-war American optimism dashed by McCarthy's witch hunts, and set to work on what she hoped would be a scathing adaptation of Voltaire for her own time. Hellman and Bernstein approached poet Richard Wilbur to be their lyricist. By that time, they'd already tried James Agee and Dorothy Parker in the job. Hellman had liked Wilbur's Molière translations.
And she said to me, "You've done fairly well by one witty Frenchman. Maybe you can handle Voltaire."
Handling Voltaire, as it turned out, was not all that easy. The material was episodic, our hero Candide going from place to place to sort out these questions of optimism, disillusionment, and reality.
The fact is that it's a very repetitious plot. People who want to believe that all's for the best in this best of all possible worlds repeatedly find themselves in nasty situations, in the Lisbon earthquake, in the Inquisition, that sort of thing, trying desperately to hold on to their optimism.
So there were struggles, and it was Hellman who seemed to suffer the most, in some cases due to her own expertise.
Whenever Lillian wrote a very good scene, somebody would say, "That would make a nice number," and it would be taken away from her, and she'd have to write some more connective tissue.
Soon, when we feel we can afford it, we'll build a modest little farm.
While Hellman struggled to add contemporary relevance to the Voltaire original, Bernstein was taking things in his own direction. He was composing what he called a comic operetta, songs bubbling over with exuberant melodies, the music drawing on every musical and operatic cliché, with good humor and fun. If the show was stopped by the overture, it was stopped again not long after.
"And here I am, my heart breaking, forced to glitter, forced to be gay."
Glitter and be gay. It was a spoof of every shallow soprano showpiece ever written.
We talked about what kind of a joke it ought to have in it. Lillian and Lenny were pleased with it. And Lenny said, "Well, now can I put a few more ha-ha-has in here?" And I said, "Of course."
Once again, the score took center stage, and so did Barbara Cook, who was not an opera singer, but rather a theater and cabaret singer.
I had never sung anything even remotely that difficult or that high before. These were E-flats over high C and D-flats, and 21 high Cs were written for that role. That kind of singing is like a sports event. It's like walking a high wire. I don't know how opera singers do it all the time, I swear.
So there was the tuneful energy, the high wire singing, and some risky politics, too.
It seemed inevitable that we would take some kind of swipe at the House Un-American Activities Committee in portraying the Spanish Inquisition.
A memorable number had been contributed by John Latouche, another in the long line of pre-Wilbur lyricists.
He wrote the two funniest lines ever written for the show, which went, what a day for an auto da fe.
What a day for an auto da fe. Executions are such fun.
It's a great day to watch some hangings and to watch people burn and fry.
Conductor Marin also.
For me, this captures everything about the piece, you know, the idea that we're going to have a wonderful time, aren't we? We're going out to watch other people suffer.
But once again, as the music took unexpected turns, priorities shifted. Some of the McCarthy analogy dropped away.
I think people would have been pretty dumb to miss it altogether, but I don't think we were very insistent on the theme by the time we opened in New York.
One can only imagine the excitement generated by a Broadway show based on Voltaire, written by Hellman, composed by Bernstein, Wilbur, Parker, Agee, and Latouche, staged by Tyrone Guthrie. On opening night, Bernstein wished Barbara Cook good luck.
And they said, oh, he says, guess what? Maria Callas is out front. I thought, oh, God, I don't need to hear that.
Despite its star power and spectacular score, Candide closed after only 73 performances at the Martin Beck. Broadway audiences found it rather operatic. Opera audiences found it a bit Broadway. Brooks Atkinson liked it well enough, but Walter Kerr dubbed it a disaster. Lillian Hellman called it her worst experience working in the theater. But for Candide, the end of its run was only the beginning. Over the last few decades, it's become practically a theatrical obsession to find a suitable framework for that celebrated score. With multiple revisions, new book, added lyrics, it just won't die. Sometimes good, in this case an incredibly, infectiously lovable set of songs, does win out over the most difficult of circumstances. Candide is now to have a new concert version, and next spring another full-scale opera version, and on and on and on. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to today's podcast from the archives of The Fishko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.